Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good morning, video games. Jumping in at the top of the show to let you know, or remind you, in fact, if you need a little prod in the right direction, that we are doing three live shows in Melbourne as part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. They are happening on, correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm ready. I've got my finger raised in front of my glasses frame right now.
Sunday, April 7th. Sunday, April 14th. And Sunday, April 21.
This motherfucker.
You've nailed it.
Yes.
Those are the dates. It'll
3 p.m. At the Cooper's Inn.
Yep.
Tickets are available now. There'll be a link in the description down there, or you can go to the Melbourne Comedy Festival website and they'll also be obtainable through there.
Yeah.
In two formats. You can come to one show if that's all you want to come to. And also you can get a season pass and come to all three shows.
For cheaper. A discount. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, get a little discount. Each show will be different. Different guests, different segments, different material.
And not just a recording that we're then going to put on the feed. So you got to be there in the room. And I didn't tell you guys this. I asked someone the other day if they wanted to be on one of them and they said yes. And I said, what date? And they said, I don't care.
Whoa. Oh, well, come and see one of the
like
most
that.
Enthusiastic guests you've ever seen at a live podcast. Yeah, live shows only. That's only
place
they're going to be.
Yeah, guests from stage and screen and radio. It'll be really fun, so come along. And I recommend the season pass.
Okay.
Me too.
Well, in the meantime, enjoy this episode of the show that you're
Cereal.
About to listen to.
Yeah.
Doctors good at certain video games were 27% faster.
So now, something that the public thinks is bad can be embraced for something good.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilon. With me, as always,
Ben Vanel here. Boys and ghouls, welcome to a very special holiday episode. We're recording it, of course, on Valentine's Day.
The three of the top brass here at Filthy Casuals headquarters have gathered together to put out a podcast with a real tone of, like, I've seen people saying this about the Xbox podcast that's coming out this week, of them being like, it feels like I'm about to be fired.
Right.
An all hands meeting. So this is that for us.
It's the text from the partner being like, we need to have a chat.
Yes. Dude,
or just from a parent where they're like, what type of bug is this? But they'll send you a message being like, I need to talk to you.
Yeah.
And then you'll call them and they're like, which drawer are the forks in again? Like, I don't know.
This is
your house you're talking about.
Honestly, it feels more like your parents have sat you down and they're about to be like, we're getting a divorce.
Yeah,
good news.
All right. About to get two Christmas presents.
Doing it on a podcast is the real, like, okay, should I come over to have the chat? No, let's meet in a park. let's meet in
neutral
territory so you can't make a scene.
Yeah.
Do you guys just want to, like, put a press release out or just say on your Twitter what's going on? No, let's do it on a podcast. So you'll be in your car, you'll be listening, you'll be driving along.
There'll be some host there to throw
softballs. There's not an immediate thing that you can reply to, sending your death threats. It's a bit harder.
Like, when you come as well, just because I'm thinking, could you bring that coat of mine that's at your house? Just because Xbox just wants to wear it.
We're talking
by the way, I hope that was clear. We're talking, by the way, about the Xbox stuff we were talking about last week, more rumors and stuff in either direction of people trying to bring it back in and be like, no, it's just that Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment will be on the Switch or whatever.
Yeah.
Other people being like, no, they're deleting Game Pass, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
The official word will be out after this.
Mm. Yep.
On Friday, Australia time, Thursday, America time.
An inside Xbox or whatever their podcast is called.
It's something they've done before. And it's a video podcast too.
Right.
They have a, you know, and it's Phil Spencer and two other people.
Yeah. Matt Booty is
Matt Booty's one of them, and I don't remember the other person's name.
I bags Booty. on our version of it.
Okay.
I'm the other one. I can't remember her name.
Oh, well. Setting a YouTube reminder to tune in and watch some CEOs fill you in is deranged.
I'm still very interested to see what it is. But
because there's also scuttlebutt that there's going to be a Nintendo Direct or a partner Direct later in the week, and the timing matches up where people think, oh, well, in that they'll be announcing that Hi-Fi Rush is on the Switch, so that's why the timing of the Xbox thing is when it is.
Which also kind of wouldn't make sense to me necessarily from the bit of this, and who knows what of any of this is true, where this was something they were going to announce in a couple more weeks from now,
but
it's been pushed up because of leaks coming out. Right. So, we won't know yet. Mm. We don't know right now.
Yeah.
But let's wildly speculate in a reckless fashion, if I can have some input.
Well, yeah.
You may well be listening to this at a point in time where we in the real world do know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're listening to
outdated, idiotic versions of us from the past.
I think we said it. We sort of after
smarter every day. That's the goal.
At the end of our big discussion last week, I think we all agreed, like, yeah, it'll be a couple of Microsoft games on other platforms.
Yeah,
that seems to be the given.
Yeah.
Out of everything, is that at least that will happen. But it is weird the way that they're doing it. Like, if it is just that, it's insane that they let it get like this.
True. That they feel like maybe it's worth announcing in this way because it's like, this now establishes a precedent that this will happen more and more.
Right.
But this has already happened in the past.
Exactly.
So even this isn't that big of a deal.
And it's been blog posts and shit is how they've said, like, Ori or Cuphead will be on other things, or like the price of Xbox is changing, or Xbox Live Gold going away. And all of that stuff has been like pretty just put out there without too much
like hullabaloo. When it's a game like Ori and Cuphead, which, you know, obviously stylistically and visually, it's like, yeah, these would fit great on the Nintendo Switch. Why wouldn't we put them out? It's the same thing with Hi-Fi Rush. It's like, that's the style of that game would fit right in there. So
we speculated about it a ton last week, though, and there's nothing really concretely new other than just they will be saying whatever it is in real world time, probably like within the next 24 hours of you hearing this or in the past. I'm interested to see. We'll talk about that in a week.
It's kind of, I kind of wish they were doing it on, like, if they were going on Fallon.
Yeah.
Wait, like Michael Richards apology style?
Yeah. Or, you know.
Or just any other person who goes on there press junket wise.
No.
Just doing it on their own.
If they're on Fallon, oh, you mean when Michael Richards apologized on David Letterman?
On Letterman, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I like the idea that it's like, this is, they just think this is such big news that they get. They're up there doing some kind of zany viral challenge with Fallon, and that's how they break the news.
That's literally what they were doing with the Kinect.
Yeah,
15 years ago, whatever that was.
Mm.
That was, Fallon was one of the early Kinect enjoyers.
Yep.
That should have been a dead giveaway that it was not good and was going to be a failure.
A hair ruffle from Fallon can get you things.
That's
and
true.
The Kinect was, they fucking, it's been ever since the Kinect, the slippery slope they've been on. And then again, we talked about this last week, but the 2013 E3 thing when the Xbox One, fascinating the position that they are in. Let's watch it be nothing.
Let's watch Matt Booty on carpool karaoke doing a Lady Gaga parody song where he's changed all the words to be about how Starfield is going to be on PlayStation 5.
Yeah. They haven't had Weird Al yet on that, I don't think. But so he'll be the first to ever change the lyrics of Dua Lipa songs and shit.
Yeah.
If you want to play Blink's The Time Sweeper, you can play it on PlayStation.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's the announcement.
Yeah.
Blink's The Time Sweeper is finally coming out on PlayStation.
Now I understand the build-up. Yeah, of course.
Exactly. I want to play Blink's.
Yeah.
I want to Blink's it up.
You want Pentiment. You've got it anyway. It doesn't fit that well. Also, Carpool Karaoke was James Corden. Let's get our fucking hosts right now.
Yeah, no, I know. R.I.P. R.I.P. to,
fingers,
I guess,
crossed.
Segment?
Yeah.
Is he? Because he did it. That was it. He did a spin-off. Like, he did a Carpool Karaoke as its own show.
There's been a couple karaoke lip syncing. There was a lip sync battle show, and that was a Fallon show
starter.
Maybe that's what you think. I don't know. Yeah.
You remember that whole extra TV show called Will It Float? That
and,
was.
And Is It Cake?
And Is It Cake? Well, Is It Cake was a whole show. Real.
Yeah. That was real. Yeah. Well, fuck all that. Mm-hmm. There's more important news. They're putting out, I think, the sixth major patch for Baldur's Gate 3. One of notes in it, better smooches, better kissing.
Yeah.
And I played that. I don't remember there being particularly bad kissing. Was there? In your guys' experience? I mean, it was normal kissing, right? Where you kind of just mash your mouths together, wiggle around a bunch and then apologize.
Yeah, it was normal kissing, right? Where you ask for a kiss and they say no.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't gotten far enough into it to do any romance. I've been playing for 17 hours.
Normal kissing where you lean in and then the stink lines from your breath make all of their hair like wilt like a flower.
Yeah. They check their watch. They're like, oh, I've got to go to a funeral.
Yeah, until they also patch in being able to have Bugs Bunny dressed up as a sexy lady in your party. I'm not interested in any romance.
That's
yeah,
probably no, that's,
I will not
fair.
Be a woogering at the screen.
I don't know that I did any romance because none of them were interesting to me. I just turned them all down and said, let's be friends. Stop making it weird.
Yeah. Me fucking and Shadowheart
Gale.
We're locked in.
Okay.
In real life now too, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
If the person I've been emailing is telling the truth, which of course they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you only interact in real life through a sheet with a hole cut in it.
Dude,
so.
We love each other because like, you know, to prove you love, you share passwords so that you trust each other.
Yeah.
I gave them the password for all our stuff too. If you see any weird uploads going up.
Yeah.
You won't. No, because they're real. Shadowheart wouldn't do that to me.
Yeah.
It's so cool how much they are improving that game. It needed it to.
Yeah.
So good that they're doing that. It's like a massive, massive patch that I don't remember if we talked about the stuff with Xboxes and the save problems and all of that too, speaking of Xbox.
No, I don't think we did.
Dude, it was crazy how so they you know, cut a couple corners from what they'd originally said and let Baldur's Gate go out, even though parts of it didn't work on the Series S.
Yes.
And then there were huge problems for a bunch of people with it, like, deleting saves from random points. They couldn't figure out what was happening. And it was an Xbox, like, OS issue. It was that had happened with other games, just none of them had been on the scale of Baldur's Gate, so not as many people had reported it.
Yep.
So there was a whole firmware update for the Xbox itself because of this game
One
interacting
game.
With it weirdly.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. It's been a long road.
That sounds like a bad smooch. The smooch between the Xbox operating system and the software Baldur's Gate
3. Well, there was no firmware. That was the problem. That was the problem, guys.
What does that mean?
Well, when a man and a woman
getting rock hard from one smooch could be a bit of a problem.
Yeah. Hey, these days wouldn't go astray. Now.
Next guest.
That's another different O's.
Another sexual O's.
Doing them all.
In other sexual news, that game, Stellar Blade, that's been in a bunch of... It was in the State of Play recently. It was announced a while ago. That has gotten a adults-only R18 plus rating in Korea for sexual content and, like, there was an interview with the developer who's worked on, apparently, very, like, lascivious... fan service-y games before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was just like, his I guess excuse for why the butt of the female protagonist is so,
and then every other
is like, well, you look at the back of the character for the entire game, so of course you'd put a lot of effort into
that
part of the character model.
Love to watch you leave mentality. Very cool. There's been yuck talk around that game as a figurehead for people being like, bring back exploitative depictions of women in games. It's cool, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to the existence of bodies.
Yeah.
I'll be big enough. I want to be uploaded to a computer, but anyone else can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't like the chat around that thing.
I don't like it either. And I don't like... Well, I don't like a certain... subsection of the population who treats women that way.
Yeah.
I don't see a big difference between that and Bayonetta.
Or like Nier Automata and shit, which had the same...
Yeah. So this guy, this developer, made a version of... Or like a game that featured the characters from Nier Automata, and it was specifically like... And you can look up their skirt.
Right.
So that's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a difference between sexy and sexually... exploitative.
Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah. Objectification it's, and yeah.
And I think I'm the person like, to draw that line.
Yeah. That's kind of all of our culture too. Like that's the hard thing is that like it's not like video games just invented this idea.
Right.
It's like it's a trickle down from like that's you know, music, movies, like just what people engage with online, well, like just, all that stuff is like such a run-on.
Culture is yes, very much that way, and plenty of them around the world. And like, I don't know, I just don't like the excitement that people feel of like, yes, let us do this again,
right? Yeah. And but I guess like, the thing with video games is you are literally you're controlling that person or character who also has no agency, is created for the viewer, for the gaze of the viewer. It's a
weird one in a way because it's like that's also all completely artificial versus like someone who's in a film who's made to dress in a certain way to be appealing to an audience. And that's a real person who's, you know, been told you have to wear this.
Yes.
Whether or not they're comfortable with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a, yeah.
Or
it's all yuck.
The case where an actor is like, no, I'm happy to, I'm happy to do it if it serves the art versus, yeah, something that is just like programmed.
Yeah.
And there's a big difference between making it and being like, look, I'm making a Hubba Hubba thing versus seeing the Hubba Hubba thing and being like, it should all be like this.
Yeah.
This is what... And there's,
video
there's
games
a,
are back.
Yeah. Video games got back. Yeah. So, yeah, like you say, Nox, we're the perfect arbiters of this kind of discourse and we've just solved everything.
Yep. Arbiters.
Sexy week of news.
Dude, it's hot as fuck.
Yeah.
A podcast with three CEOs and they're triplets.
What does CEO stand for?
Come enjoyment officer.
Yeah, nice.
Don't need to change the last one.
Please welcome the three come enjoyment officers from Microsoft.
Again, out of context, so I don't. Let me take that back. I've been playing a game.
Have you now?
You want to hear about that?
Is there any sexual content?
I don't think so.
Okay. Depends on your perspective.
Well, it's more of a...
it's like Schrodinger's dick. Mm. We know Adam has a dick in his pants.
Schrodinger, you're not proving anything by getting it out. You're like, you don't know it's out.
We don't know if it's erect or not.
Yeah.
For at the moment, it could be either.
Schrodinger.
I don't remember there being anything in there, but it's more of a scary game.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking...
that can be arousing
to
some people.
Frights. This is a game called Kinito Pet, which is K-I-N-I-T-O Pet.
Yep.
If you want to look it up.
But how you spell... how you spell pet?
P, and then I forget the rest.
Okay.
It's a game about it's in the vein of something like a Doki Doki Literature Club or like Inscription a little bit, that sort of like cursed software type of thing.
Oh, yep. Brother. That other game that I chucked on the whiteboard, very, very, this is a good double feature.
Yeah, nice. I think they're similar to Home right. Safety Hotline, which we'll talk about later. Kinito Pet is a, it's made by one person. It was out end of last year and it sort of picked up a little bit of like social media steam recently. It was like $8-$9. And so what it is, you,
$89. That's a lot.
$8 or $9, you fucking motherfucker. you're opening it up and it starts with like an old monitor kind of coming towards the screen and it's all presented as your desktop. It takes a screenshot of your actual background wallpaper and then kind of CRT filters that. And then throughout the thing, you are, you've downloaded this little desktop assistant guy, like a Clippy. Little axolotl called Kinito Pet.
Right. Okay.
And slowly it will become clear that this thing, it might be a little bit evil.
Ooh.
Or
like those things. I've just remembered they made these little Austin Powers kind of desktop assistant things that was like a bit of software that, yeah, you would open and then it would be like a little Austin Powers or Dr. Evil that would just like pace around your desktop while you were doing other stuff.
Yeah.
And just he'd start fucking trying to shag you through the screen or whatever.
I think that what this was inspired by, there was like a purple gorilla one.
Oh,
it
yes.
It was like, that was the big, the popular one. I wish I had the Austin Powers one,
bring
quite
this
frankly.
Back.
Yeah.
There's been a few of them. Well, maybe be careful what you wish for.
Uh-oh. Because
this guy will pop up and then start doing little games with you and stuff. And a lot
good.
Of the scares come from it directly accessing stuff on your computer
to
fuck with you.
Right.
So like, not to give too much away or whatever.
Mm.
But some of the tricks are effective.
Mm.
You wouldn't want to play this if you were streaming it to people. There is a streamer mode that will not do some of the tricks.
Oh yeah,
if you turn it on, because it will reveal where you live to people
okay,
and shit
that's
like
cool.
that.
Right.
Because did, not to spoil it, but did, was it Inscription that had bits of that where you had to go into your desktop?
It had your Steam friends popping up and this kind of does some stuff with that too.
There was something I played a little while ago that was like, it made you go into a folder and
I think
delete
it's
stuff.
And Doki Doki Literature
Club.
Yeah,
that did, there's that been a few did, that have done this same sort of
that
thing.
That are like, feed me a thing that's a certain...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need... Yeah, what? I don't think it was... Anyway, whatever it was like you needed to find like the biggest...
Oh.
Files that you had.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Yeah.
That might have been Inscription. I definitely remember that.
Yeah.
Even though I knew it was like in the game, I was still like, is this really deleting?
Well, this is the same thing. Like, I'm going to spoil a couple of the little bits. If this sounds like something interesting, I think it's safe. It's on Steam and it is safe, I believe.
And it's $89.
It is $8.95 Australian.
Okay.
$8 to $95 mm-hmm. Australian. Mm-hmm. It is... So a couple of the little things it might do. So like VTubers who use a fake face have had their webcam turned on by it and shown to stream. It will do that where he's like, let me look at you.
Wow.
He has like sort of a Microsoft Sam voice or whatever, but mm-hmm. it's like a pre-recorded one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He will know your name from your login thing, but if you've got a joke one of them, it doesn't really work.
Okay.
But it will get you to open command prompt and do shit thing, and I think that is a fake command prompt that it's doing. But all bits and of things like that. One of them really fucking scared the shit out of me.
Okay.
An audio thing.
Okay.
So it's got some cool ideas of ways to do that, but yeah, if you've kind of played some of these meta horror games mm-hmm. on a computer before, you've probably seen very similar. The thing of the computer who is coming alive and is scary has been done a lot.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some cool things of like, you know, fake little ads. This guy started as a Tamagotchi in the 90s in the thing. And so
oh,
it's got
cool.
like
right.
little print ads and whatever that it'll show you at points and some little web games that he plays and personality tests and whatever.
Mm.
And a mix of things. It's not particularly long, and it's not that good. Like, it's all right. It's cool, but it's not like, here we go, the next step of this type of thing. I think
if you've not engaged with this kind of thing before,
it'll be more effective then.
Right.
Yes, but if you've sort of seen the fair few of these that have come around, mm-hmm. it's a lot of similar stuff.
And it can't just be... You can't just do the tricks. That was the cool thing about the way it was done in Inscription was that mm-hmm. it was servicing this like overall thing where the actual game that you were playing was really fun, and it just throwing this new trick in was like this nice little wrinkle
that
just kind of put you along the way of a fun game you were playing. It wasn't just like, hey, yeah, we can... it's pretty crazy how we can just bring up a picture of your desktop, isn't it?
Right.
This is a lot more like the second version there where it's going like, oh, isn't this freaky? And it like the setup... The payoff does not match the like, oh, that's a cool idea of the setup.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where I don't think any of it really ties itself together at the end, particularly interestingly or whatever. Like, it's limited by what it can actually physically do,
right.
I suppose. But a lot of that setup stuff, it just doesn't really lead to anything. Mm. It's more little frights along the way that... maybe overall aren't as impactful as something like Doki Doki Literature Club or whatever that had a better, more intricately told story to it.
Which is
a shame because this specific version...
Maybe
of,
that was the one that got you to delete the big files. I can't remember.
You definitely had... Like, it I guess we're spoiling it. This is what, like a six-year-old game or something?
You did have to do something of that
you
nature.
You had to delete the game. But it was like a facsimile of your... file system, I think.
There was some of that at the end too.
Yeah.
But it did a few things along. And yeah, it's all horror game stuff that people have been messing around with for, yeah. I don't know, 10 years or whatever. So your mileage will, as with anything like this, vary based on how much you've seen it before. But this is a pretty cool one of those with like a, I think having the little clippy guy and whatever is an interesting.
Well, that's the thing. That's that sounds like a bit of a kind of wasted opportunity or like a missed opportunity where like that specific version of it, they're not just like later in the game accessing your desktop. The fact that it is all based in there from the beginning and it being a little desktop assistant is like, yeah, that's kind of a neat new thing.
It just doesn't do enough to be like super cool,
yeah. Right.
But is like it's interesting, and I see why it's picked up because there's a couple of moments in it that are like, oh, that's clever,
right?
Overall, not as effective as those individual little moments.
That is funny that it's become that it's really kicked off as a streaming thing when it seems to be
the most
very much like not conducive
Russian
to
roulette on a stream, totally. It does have that streamer mode there that will skip those things. It's got a very, it's also got a bunch of spelling mistakes because in like the PDF where it's like, hey, if you're going to stream this, read this and I'll show you what to turn on and off. And in that, it's like, and by the way, forgive the spelling. I'm terrible at spelling. So I forgive it.
Okay. All right.
I don't know.
That as well. And just something else I remember, you talked about this a little bit the other week, but I played the Exit 8 as well.
Oh, yeah.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
Similar sort of thing where like it's not meta-y in the same way, but it is a puzzle game about, if you didn't hear it, being stuck in like a subway tunnel between platforms, and you've got to identify whether there's something wrong or not in the sequence. So there's some posters, there's a door, there's some things that might have something with varying levels of very hard to detect versus, oh cool, there's some fucking spooky shit very clearly here, so I'll turn around.
The man is walking really fast now instead of slowly.
There's some ghosts in here.
Yeah,
I'll turn around.
Yeah, there's a tidal wave of blood.
I definitely got to a point where I was like, it's broken. There's nothing here, but it's like, oh no, there's some shit on the ceiling that you could miss pretty easily. It's cool, and it's short, and it's like $2, not two fucking hundred, $2.
How the fuck would I think that? You're being crazy.
two male deer, $2. Where am I going to get two male deer from?
God damn.
There's no way out. There's no way out of the Exit 8.
This is the true horror game.
Yeah.
It's cool. There's like 30-something individual little things that might go wrong, and so I ended up seeing them all because I was just interested, and it's a quick little, you'll finish it in an hour or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's nice. It's a cool idea that works.
You guys are loving the horror at the moment.
Well, bitch, I got some more horror.
Oh, I don't think my poor heart can handle it.
You've got to.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So it's a game where you boot it up and it's a fake CRT screen where you see your desktop.
Yeah, really?
Yep.
Okay.
It's not literally yours. It's like it is a desktop. It's very Windows 95 style looking thing.
And this is like kind of the game on a computer equivalent of like a horror movie having a very normal looking suburban house as the setting or whatever. Like,
or like we're in the found footage era.
This is super.
Yeah.
If the Blair Witch was a nerd.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It starts like that, but it's like, hey, welcome to your first day on the job at Home Safety Hotline. You know, you're just double clicking shit. Open your client or whatever. Boom. You're a
that's what a surgeon does.
Open up that client.
Yep.
The client.
Surgeon and other professions.
Name them.
Open up their clients. Home Safety Hotline workers. So you're an inbound call center worker. You receive calls from people.
I'm already terrified.
Who are, I think, clients of yours, or they're looking for help with various home issues. But a lot of them are like, and initially they're sort of lower scale stuff of like, I've got some like black dots of dirt or something on my kitchen counter. What should I do about it? And then you've got in this same sort of like little, you know, little program, basically an encyclopedia of stuff. That you kind of work backwards through. So it's like, it'll say like black mold, and then you'll click it and there'll be a description, and it's like, often it will present with, you know, patches in the corner of ceilings, or it'll be mice, and it'll be like, often there'll be like mice poo on the tabletops and stuff that looks like pieces of black dirt, you know? And so you'll have to sort of be reviewing this in the 30 seconds between calls that come in. They kind of come in randomly.
Right.
So you'll have this, basically build up this background of information, and then someone will call and be like, blah, 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 blah. And you will have to submit to them a potential diagnosis. And then your home safety hotline company sends out like pest, you know, removalists or cleaners or like... And it develops into like weirder and weirder problems. And it's like, oh, you've got to send an exorcist over. You've got to send, you know, and people get really mad if you put forward the wrong solution. Mm-hmm. And it like this game, it's sort of like a weird cursed vibe. And there's like sort of an ongoing story about the hope, like the company itself and what's going on with it.
Yeah.
That is spooky and creepy. Not as scary, it sounds like. There's nothing that is like shocking or anything.
Kenito Pet was trying to go like boo at
yeah. points. Yeah, right.
This is like odd vibe that builds up over time. Sort of background environmental storytelling going on.
Yep.
But most of the time you're just sort of like, it's more like a puzzle game. You're just like, okay, diagnose this. What is this? Like a, you know, like a detective game.
It sounds like Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes, or like Papers, Please, or those sorts of like quickly cross-reference games.
Yes, totally. It's probably Papers, Please is the best example. Yeah, very similar, sort of like you have your little layout of your little program and you're putting stuff together. It's okay. It didn't like fully grab me. It didn't fully suck me in. And it's not very complicated. So it just wasn't, I guess, that engaging. And it's like, it's not $8 or $9. It's more like $30.
Okay.
$300.
Yeah.
No, I said $30.
Yeah, well, I knew that.
Impossible.
And I fucking said
impossible
it anyway.
Impossible to misunderstand.
Like a fuckwit.
We're all just doing our best, okay?
And so are the developers of Home Safety Hotline. I just, like... It's an interesting concept. Again, it's conceptually, I like that people are pushing in these directions.
Yeah.
And like not just making platformers and, you know, action games and shooters. Like, love that this kind of experimentation is going on. The aesthetic, I still like it. I don't think I'm fully sick of this, you know, CRT throwback stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even though it is like directly trying to trigger my nostalgia, you know, some people our age's nostalgia.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. This is probably maybe not... because I heard about it from other sources as like a thing to try. And I kind of regret dropping, you know, 30 on it.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe steer clear. I don't think there's a demo of it. Watch some YouTube playthrough of it and gauge, you know, that way. But yeah, Home Safety Hotline. Another in a long string of weird indie horror games.
Yeah, that sort of stuff is like... You know, all of that aesthetic of the you're looking at a CRT and whatever. I love that sort of thing. Yeah. Not for nostalgia necessarily, even as much as just.
Well, you still have a CRT TV.
Yeah. I like that sort of technology and whatever as a, and it fits that vibe of you know, a shitty old office and whatever.
I imagine there's also a personality type that you know, the people that just love horror movies and love all of them, even the ones that are the most like schlocky. Overdone, jump scare, obvious. People just love that genre, even for the like the campness of that. So there probably is also a person that's just like any of this kind of style of game, they're just going in on anyway and love, you know what I mean? In the same the horror fanatics of films are like so forgiving of all of the tropes and all of the rest of it that I imagine there's, a certain type of person that just like goes in on every one of these games and loves the experience regardless of how much replayability
is. The baseline is always like, well, I'm going to like a fair amount of this.
Yeah.
I want to get around to that World of Horror game. You guys seen that one? It's like...
Black and white.
Yeah. Very simplistic style, but I feel like it's going more for just creating an atmosphere and scaring you rather than even being about gameplay.
I think that one's free.
Right.
Two.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, because it's been out for a while. And I think it just recently came to consoles. So, I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a crack. But who can say?
Who can say? This episode of Filthy Casuals is once again brought to you by our friends over there at Manscaped.
Trim.
Trim.
Pretty quick.
Well, you may have, by the time this comes out, you may have missed Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
You might be in the doghouse. There's maybe, you know, very little you can do to smooth things over with your partner. But you know what might help?
Yeah.
Trim that disgusting bush of yours.
Yes. Smooth things over with your partner by smoothing down their pubic area.
Mm.
Trim yourself nice and smooth
with
Manscaped's products. They make hair look afterers.
Yeah.
They're very effective. They work well. They've been reliable in our actual experience.
The lawnmower.
Yeah.
The beard hedger.
Yeah.
The ear and hair nose trimmer.
With the weed whacker.
The weed whacker.
A bunch of balms and liquids.
Mm. Conditioners.
Underwear. You can get a different type of shaver that I don't remember what it's called, but does a different...
Leather bags.
Stuff for everything.
It's like a travel beard shaver, double trimmer. Yeah,
little scissors and all sorts of bits and pieces. Anything that you could need.
A fake newspaper.
I don't think they do that anymore.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to lead our customers astray.
It used to be packed in. We're not saying that it was a newspaper and we're calling the news fake.
No.
Right.
Some news that you can trust is that if you go and pick some Manscaped products that you like and you use the code whilst checking out, the code FILTHY.
FILTHY.
You get yourself 20% off and free shipping.
Hell yeah.
That is news deal. That is fit to print.
What a goddamn deal.
Manscaped.com. Pick what you like, then use the code FILTHY, 20% off and free shipping. I mean, you can, with amounts like that being trimmed off of the top of the price, why wouldn't you?
It's a no-drainer.
It's I got no drain today. Well, it is spooky Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. and you've been playing even more horror shit. And I know it for a fact.
Have I?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on the goddamn whiteboard.
I forgot. I thought you were talking about the other thing I played.
Nah.
I've played Silent Hill 2, The Short Message, a free game.
I think just Silent Hill, The Short Message.
Oh,
possibly.
Right. It's not.
And Silent Hill 2 is like the separate remake.
It is connected story-wise.
Right.
I believe to at least... Silent Hill overall.
Yeah.
Not a big shock.
I'm blown away.
But I'm not a Silent Hill, like, I've never played a Silent Hill game before this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I don't know if this is, a prologue to Silent Hill 2 connected to the overall sort of, you know, like, vibe of the, you know, weird spooky shit.
But yeah.
So in many ways, you could not be less of the target audience.
Yeah. Well... I do like video games.
That's true.
So
that's half the battle.
Yeah. This was, a free-to-play game. It was announced and then released straight away, like a week and a half ago or something?
Yeah, during the state of play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a first-person game. It is kind of a walking simulator.
It's
more
like
than
PT,
anything.
Right? Which was Silent Hill.
Yeah, it's PT, but there's more than just one corridor.
Okay.
The story is...
Video games have come a long way.
I know. You're playing as this girl. She is struggling with the recent suicide of a friend, mm-hmm. In the sense that she initially does not believe it to be true.
That's stage one.
Yeah, that's stage one. You're talking to your friend on the phone who...
Oh, well, that would also make me doubt it.
No, sorry, a different friend.
Oh, okay.
But then you do start receiving messages from this deceased friend.
Okay, well, that would make me doubt it.
Yeah. Basically, you are in a kind of dream world where you need to explore and uncover the nature of why this friend maybe killed themselves and why reality seems to be broken in some sort of way that you can't escape from.
Yeah.
It's mainly set in a school, I think, and then sort of other disconnected sort of like dilapidated buildings and shit.
Okay.
Your friend was an artist. And so you often like come across these big murals they've painted, and it'll trigger like a cutscene. Basically, you're just walking around interacting with stuff. There's no like puzzle solving. except for one very, very short minor bit. It's mainly you walking around, getting cutscenes, being like, maybe they were upset about this, and then walking through another bit of this building and being like, right. Maybe they were upset about this. And your like friend who is alive keeps like trying to call you and talk to you, and you're really depressed and you're like, leave me alone. I don't deserve any help. Like, it's very, so there's like a suicide depression sort of like trigger warning at the start, mm-hmm. and like after like different cutscenes that are very specifically, you know, related to it. Anytime
it brings it back up.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Like quite frequently. I think even just between chapters of the game and stuff. So, but it is because the whole game is about suicide,
right,
and depression.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. Reiterating the trigger warning.
No.
And hey,
no.
You might have thought this was like a funny joke that we put at the start of the video, but it's real.
It's serious.
We mean it.
And it makes sense. It wasn't like a weird intrusive thing. I was like, yeah, this is really, really heavily about this.
Okay.
And would be quite upsetting to someone.
Well, yeah, when it dropped, we were talking about maybe doing a video of it. And you started playing it and you messaged us and said, thank God we didn't do this.
Yeah, not a lot of humor to be found in this.
I love a challenge.
And then
that's only 12 reasons so far.
Yeah.
That's not enough, surely.
That's our like heading of the video. They've called it the unriffable game.
Let's jump into these suicide paintings like it's Mario. And so on.
It is mostly you walking around triggering cutscenes and memories and things like that.
Right.
And then occasionally basically a personification of like whatever this dark force is. Will chase you around.
Right.
And you've just got to like run around and then basically like lose it, go through this door, that door, this door, and then find the way out. And it's very frantic and quick and like, but there still is no other like gameplay than like walking through a maze, basically.
Are these memories and bits of story and all of that interesting or?
I mean, they're not completely uninteresting. Like the relationships are relatively well drawn, and there is sort of a mystery that you're unfolding as it goes, but I wouldn't call it good.
Okay.
I wouldn't call the game good.
Okay.
Okay.
I'd call it dull.
Which is free though, right?
Like it's a free game.
It really does just feel like a little taster for you're a fan, and this is biding some time until the two thing is actually out.
I guess so.
I guess it's not like it's not like a survival horror game. Like it is not. There's no combat. There's nothing that is what.
There's
I
no
understand.
Challenge. Like you can't fail it.
Yeah. Well, you can fail it, but then you just regenerate at the start of that section and keep trying until the thing doesn't catch you.
Mm. Okay.
But there's no like. Yeah. There's no real exploration. Like it's all fairly linear. It just isn't what I assume the Silent Hill games are.
Two is certainly not.
Right.
Like, it's not a first person. It's a lot more similar to a Resident Evil or whatever, but with differences. And I think at this point, Silent Hill has had more bad games than good, is my understanding. I don't know tons about them. I've never really played them, but that is the scuttlebutt that I've seen.
Yeah.
And all the butt that's fit to scuttle is what I read.
And I mean,
it does still have enough of its fans where anytime there's like rumor that a new thing's going to be announced, people start to get very worked up.
The fact that Konami is doing shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, more and more, it has me hopeful for some Metal Gear stuff that also sucks. that'd be cool.
But you're right. Like it's, I think the first couple were like really good and sort of held up as classic survival horror games. And then
I think 3 and 4 are decent. Right. Is what people think of them. And then there are a lot of other ones.
Which, this is a shame to like, they've got this remake of 2 coming out and to hype people up, they drop free but kind of dull first person game.
My guess would be about this one that it's more about something coming after the 2 remake too, because like this would be a different studio is what I assume.
Mm.
And so like PT was meant to be a teaser for Silent Hills.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm guessing that this is the same thing, but that is a guess.
That you look at Resident Evil and that went first person and successfully, you know, like, but this just doesn't have combat. It doesn't have real puzzle solving. And it handles the sensitive subject matter really well.
Okay.
That's good. The best thing about it is that it's a tactful, thoughtful story about teen suicide.
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing about it is that it happens to be a video game and it's not fun to play.
Right.
So
that's interesting, yeah. though. Like, that's a, you know, obviously a tough subject to tackle.
Yeah. You'd almost expect it to be the other way around.
Yeah.
Hey, fun game, but woof.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. So, I don't know. Like, and it's, I wouldn't recommend it to someone who's like been affected by that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
And I wouldn't recommend it to someone who likes video games.
So
if you hate video games and you have absolutely no personal experience with suicide whatsoever,
then
this is the game for you.
This might be your game of the year.
If that applies to you,
yeah.
and yet for some reason you own a PlayStation 5,
right.
get around
and
it.
And you're listening to this, yeah.
I played two games this year, that one, and it was so much fun and so funny. And I played the second ass game, and let me tell you, more like that, please.
Yeah,
cool, nice to meet you. Well, I was gonna play a little demo too, and then God had other plans.
Oh yeah,
shut the power down where I live.
Yes,
because he hadn't paid the fucking bills.
That's God's fault, is it?
Well, someone's got to do it.
Yeah.
A fucking 5-minute storm hit Melbourne.
Yeah.
And the whole power grid and a huge chunk of it was like, no, boy, this is scary.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're not equipped for this.
So I didn't play Banisher's Ghosts of New Eden, which I'm interested in and seems cool, and I'll probably get to by next week because I bought it. Just finished downloading it, I think.
So the power was the power was on long enough for the transaction to go through.
Very suspicious.
And then da-doom. But the other thing I downloaded, was which I don't know if I actually even will play this, because the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth demo is a section of the game. It's the Nibelheim bit, right?
It is.
Which it will give you the option to then skip that section in the main game if you've played the demo.
Mm-hmm.
But fuck that.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I downloaded this and I thought, so keen for this game, and kind of figured it would be worth doing the beginning of it for reasons that maybe we'll get into in a minute. But I feel the same way. I just want to sit and I want to play the game, especially like knowing how long it's going to be and how I felt about the first one. I'm like, I just kind of want to lock in and not. Yeah, the fact that it's sort of an out of order bit, I was like, eh.
And
if it's not just straight up the first few hours.
There's a second portion of the demo coming later, which is like an open world section that is different from how it's made in the main game.
Right.
And it will just be completely unrelated. And if you play that, whatever, none of your business.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Yeah, it seems like a weird sort of, weird way of doing this.
And it's odd because this is such a direct sequel.
Yeah.
I mean, none of this matters that much, but it's such a direct sequel that, like, is anyone playing this bit and going like, oh, I'll go in on number two of this thing
that's
technically a sequel to the fucking, you know.
I get not putting the beginning of a game in as the demo when it's like, well, we want to convince people to play this game. So, we want to put, like, the best slice of it in, and the very beginning is very drawn out or whatever. But, like, no one is getting this because they're on the fence and not interacted with any of this yet and
but
maybe being won over.
Chin's a wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a little piano game that's gotten people in.
We're talking about it, aren't we?
Yeah. They got you, actually. They got you. But this is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth as a demo, Ben. You did play.
Yeah. I feel like it makes sense for someone who has played the original Final Fantasy VII, loves it, is super, super keen for this, was always going to play this full game, loved the remake, because that segment is very easily removable from the game and playing as a segment. It is a flashback.
Yeah.
It is, I don't know if this is a spoiler.
I guess avoid it if you think it might be, I suppose.
Yeah, because we said something offhand last week about
a
game that's very old and people got really mad.
I'd say, look, if you don't want to know anything about this sequel, I don't think it is a spoiler, by the way.
Right.
Skip forward 30 seconds. This bit does not depart from the story of the original game.
Right, right, right.
Like Remake 1 has been.
We've got 15 spare seconds here,
This is very much just that section
right.
with better graphics.
Yes.
Sure.
The Nibelheim bit is that how they say it in the game? Do they say the name of the
town? They say Nibelheim, which I always thought it was Nibelheim or Nibelheim, and it's Nibelheim.
I thought Nibelheim, but I've heard people say Niflheim in the past, which I think might be some German, I don't know.
Right. For a game that was originally all text, right?
Yep.
Like no voice acting.
Yes. Yep.
It should be when it comes up at the start, it's in addition to choosing what language it'll be voiced in, it should also have certain words like this that are like, now select the version that is how you were pronouncing this in your head.
Yeah. Are you a Marco or a Mako kind of guy?
Yeah. Yeah. When the Harry Potter movies came out, were you reading it as Hermione?
Dude, I had about 3 books worth of Hermione.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They should just have alternate cuts where it's like when you're looking at the cinema, it's like the Ghibli films dubbed.
Tickets to the dumb version, please.
Just in the text version of the games originally, have a phonetic pronunciation guide.
Well, and then we had Aeris instead of Aerith.
I was going to say, like fully different spelling. Yeah.
Yep.
And I begrudgingly think of her as Aerith.
I get that it's Aerith, but like she changed her name.
But you have to respect that. This chunk of the game is in the demo, the Nibelheim section. And it looks fucking incredible. The combat is amazing. It's the best version of this combat that is in any game. Better than Final Fantasy 16.
Because we should say too, the state of play just about this game had gone out after we did last week's episode.
Yeah.
So they announced this launched at the same time, and they announced all the they showed off some of the mini game stuff that's in this new one, and they did a bit more of a deep dive and the last kind of full trailer of it before it comes out,
which I didn't watch. I don't want any of that stuff to be.
They've shown an awful lot, and if you haven't played any of these but you think it looks cool, I'm sorry, but you need to play Final Fantasy VII from 1997 first, and then you need to play the first remake game.
This should almost be, you put this in and it's like, hey, we haven't found a save file from Remake Part 1
and
anywhere
Crisis
on
Core.
Your PSN.
Yeah. And you need to at least watch the cutscenes from Dirge of Cerberus.
Sure.
And watch that fucking PSP movie.
Yeah.
Like, this is fully Final Fantasy VII or something.
Yeah. But... yeah, I weirdly, this chunk is the most removable and easily segmented version of the game. And yeah, it looks fantastic. I've seen some people be critical of the voice acting, which I was in the first remake and then rapidly got used to. It's a little bit cheesy, but it kind of fits the tone.
I agree. I think it's stylized in the same way as the characters themselves.
Yeah.
I do think it fits.
Yeah.
The game is cheesy, but in a very fun way. I think it's quite cartoony and over the top and sentimental and saccharine and all of those sorts of things.
Yeah, yeah.
But in a way that is quite fun if you let yourself, enjoy things.
I think it was one of those ones where I didn't even really think about switching it from English because same thing. I just ended up getting on board with the tone of it.
It's an earnest game about, environmental saviours and bad
and
corporations.
chosen family, basically, and all of these things that can be. But, I'm into the tone of it from the first one I'm talking about.
And then the other thing that I think makes this worth playing if you are a longtime fan is that it's such a familiar section of the game. It's iconic. There are moments in it that are, cut out from magazines and put on fans' walls. It is iconic and recognizable, a segment that I was happy to get it out of the way. I'm happy that I don't have to play it in the game when it comes out.
Right.
But I still got a taste of this fantastic combat system and got to see this incredible 4K visualization of this game that was mainly filled in by imagination when it came out.
Yeah.
I've seen about the performance of it that the fidelity mode is the way to go because the performance mode does fucking reduce the image quality quite a lot.
I didn't even check. I just played it on the default. So
I think that's probably fidelity and running at 30 or whatever. And I think that's probably fine for this.
Yeah, yeah. And it looks sick. What else was I going to say about it? Obviously all of the fantastic music and stuff is in there.
See, that's the thing that is sort of tempting me to do this slice. I don't know if we've talked about this yet, but you and I, Ben, will be in Japan when the mm-hmm. game actually comes out. Mm-hmm. So just the opportunity to play a bit of it yeah. on the TV. I'm going to try and stream a bit of it remote play mm-hmm. over there, but I don't have high hopes.
Yeah.
Or we even talked about maybe going to one of those gaming cafes and trying to play it there and yeah. maybe like log into our PSN network and store our save in the cloud and then yeah. be able to pick up when we get back.
Is there like a good games shop in Japan that would let you return a PS5 after a week?
I tell you what, I saw maybe. I am regularly moving my PS5 between the living room and my office. Mm. And I walked past a box of the like slim in a shop the other day.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was like, damn. As someone who is moving theirs from room to room,
yeah.
this is actually pretty attractive
Get a
to me.
PlayStation... 2 tickets to the dumb version, please.
Get a PlayStation Portal.
You could
My
do.
Friend got one.
Yeah.
But I've got a phone.
And a Steam Deck.
And a controller.
And another Steam
yeah.
Deck.
And an iPad.
Yeah.
yeah, look, I'm hoping that, the internet over there will be good enough to even just, get on the iPad and chuck an HDMI into a hotel TV and pair a controller. If not,
I'll be here.
Yeah.
And I'll be holding down the Final Fantasy Fort.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to play this second part of the demo as well, but I will be doing everything humanly possible to play it in Japan.
Well, we've
don't
we've also,
worry about that.
We've talked about so we're, our first day there is the day that it comes out, and
yes.
we've talked about this is a bit of a it's a big game. We're not going to be able to play it in the best conditions mm-hmm. day one, but we will be in the country of origin
yes.
on the day it comes out. So we've been trying to find some sort of like a launch event to go to.
Well, yeah. I think it was you dug up the fact that the Square Enix Cafe or the mm-hmm. Squaresoft Cafe.
And you would have to think if something's going to happen anywhere, it's going to be at the Square Enix Cafe.
It's currently got, is it Octopath Traveler 2 or something?
Yeah.
It's themed around that game.
Right.
That exhibition ends just before.
On the 28th.
Yeah,
of course.
And the game's out on the 29th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they...
Dude, you're going to meet Cloud.
Yeah, I'm so fucking excited. Initially, it was just mainly to go to Super Nintendo World, but my favorite game is
yeah
kind of a priority.
I'm so excited to see the ways in which this game makes changes.
Oh, man.
Because the way that the first remake made changes threw me for a loop.
Mm.
And I love loops.
Yeah.
Oh, little Sonic over here.
Dude, I'm a fucking toucan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we got to have a day. I hit up a listener of the show mm-hmm. who lives in just outside of Tokyo, I believe. And I asked her, I was like, hey, I'm sort of looking around, but I'm hitting a wall when I'm getting to websites where they're all in Japanese. I was like, if you could do some digging, if you happen to, see anything or hear of any like events at even just like a, whatever, like a big game store that's doing
totally.
Like a midnight launch or anything like that.
If there's someone dressed as Cloud or
yeah.
Tifa or Aerith, I want a photo with them.
And she was saying that there's
good material for the show.
Yeah.
There's some sort of, I think maybe it's like Lawson's, the convenience store. They're doing some kind of promotional thing.
Oh,
so
yes.
Hopefully we can get enough of a bank for you and me to go around on launch day.
Yeah.
We can get our Barrett themed egg sandwich.
Yes. Dude, forget about Bust a Sword. I'm about to bust a nut over here.
Genuinely like going with a half packed suitcase to fill it up.
We're gonna do everything we can to be even though we won't be, maybe won't be able to have had that much reliable hands-on experience with the game. We're gonna get as much on the ground reporting as we can from launch day over in Tokyo.
I'm not a plushy guy, and again, this will be another pronunciation issue. Kate Sith, whatever. A little plushy of that little fucker.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Not the worst way you can put a bit of fluff in a ball.
One of the best ways, honestly.
Good way.
Really good shape for it.
One. Kirby.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
That cunt. Three. Pac-Man.
Yep.
I'm just thinking of round guys, I
Doraemon.
Guess. Who?
Doraemon.
It's
not a video game character.
What is
the
it?
Little cat.
The blue and
the little blue
and
cat.
White cat.
The Cheshire Cat.
The little Japanese cartoon cat.
Oh, I know who you mean.
It's been around for like 100 years. Yeah, yeah,
little emoji looking
thing. Yeah.
Little fat Pikachu, little Hello Kitty. Hey, I'm going to get them all. Going to bring them back.
Constantly refreshing that Square Enix Cafe website, because apparently when they open reservations, they go pretty quickly. And what I'm learning is, this is in like 2 weeks. You'd think this would have been announced by now, but what I'm learning is, very short lead times for things in Japan.
I hope there's like the bear situation going on there where they're having to rapidly put together a Final Fantasy cafe, all yelling at each other.
Yeah. If only there had have been some advance warning that this day was coming.
Yeah. Fried chocobo behind. Yes, chef. Yeah.
Get
the fuck off of my my red little car with six wheels. Get the fuck off right now. My little red car thing.
Who's on the Moogle? Who's on the Moogle? Sid. We need two Moogles.
Sid smoking crack out the back.
So this is part two of three. Yeah.
I don't think it's been confirmed. Right?
I think they said three initially.
Yeah.
From where they say this one ends, which I won't say, but I know what it is. Like in terms of discs.
Yes.
Like there's more. There's a lot more.
Okay.
Yeah. And because.
But again, this isn't a strict remake.
Sure.
Yeah. So if their plan is to do three, which that like last one will come out at the end of the PS5 sort of life cycle-ish.
Which I sort of love that as well as this like kind of weird ongoing art project, not only in the way that they're remaking it, but in the like, length of time it's taking to come out is sort of fascinating.
There's been funny stuff as well about, because of how well this one's been going, people internally want to make, you know, a Final Fantasy VI remake. And there was a conversation with someone about that where he's like, we can't do it. It would take 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's just impossible to do.
Well, I saw, someone comment on making a Final Fantasy, I guess it's the director of Final Fantasy VIII, being like, if we do this, I would want to completely overhaul like a lot about it, including the combat.
Final Fantasy VIII had kind of a broken combat system. Yeah, like, it was easy to fuck.
I think there's kind of a, I think there's sort of a, there's a rumored, there's like a leak from Atlus that the same, similar kind of conversations, so they've just brought out that three complete remake and for apparently they're like doing and like, which again, same thing of like they just need to redo all of them,
right?
Like they're not, you know, they need to be done from the ground up because of how different those first two are as well.
Dude, and imagine like, if they started remaking video games.
Yeah,
that'd be fucking so cool.
It's interesting though, like when you're a, you know, obviously if you're a big enough studio you can handle it, but at the same time as like they're working on that what's it called, the other new one they've got coming out, the Memento
Square,
Atlas,
Mephisto Refantasio,
it's not that. Mephisto
metaphor
Refantasio,
that, and presumably, you know, getting the gears turning on Persona 6.
Yeah.
You know, it's like these studios. I'd rather they make
new games.
Yeah.
Personally.
Me too, 1,000,000%. And like, that's why I like these remakes so much, is because
they're not
your granddaddy's remake.
Yeah. I'm also very curious to see how it potentially departs or it doesn't. And yeah, like I was on a podcast that isn't out yet, and I'll shout it out when it's released, but it was all about Final Fantasy VII.
Behind the Bastards.
Yeah, we went deep on the Shinra Corporation. But yeah, like just thinking about all the Zack stuff and having played Crisis Core.
Yeah.
How is this? Obviously, it's going to be different from what we saw in the previous game. But then also, yeah, like the content itself of like remake only covered 2/3 of the first disc, but then the third disc of the original game is literally like the final boss battle. So
the third disc is pretty small. I forget, I suppose. There's a lot on that first disc, less on the second, not much on the third.
Yeah, and by, I think by the time you're in the third, that all of that world is already like they're
reprinting the same world on each disc at some point, other than Midgar, which
it must have been someone in there being like, guys, this, we got to jettison this third disc.
Yeah,
there's barely anything on this motherfucker. We've got to shrink this down.
I mean,
it costs you more money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. But
we should put this on a cartridge. Cool. That's the solution.
We should go back to our old pals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for that game. I won't play that demo, I don't think, but it's good that it is a good indication of it continuing the quality of
so good.
I truly could go completely either way, being in a country with fantastic internet, but having to communicate back here with a console that is
connected
logged
to
into shitty internet. Not only shitty internet, but to get the internet on the PlayStation at that end of the house, two separate, what are they called?
Oh, extenders.
Extender things.
Yeah, network extenders.
I mean, you could plug it into the router before you leave.
That's not a bad idea.
Oh, sure, yeah. Doesn't need to be near a screen.
They don't call me the king of networking for nothing.
Whoa. Which will mean it's on the floor in the bedroom next to QB's bed. Light, standby light just blinking in his face all night.
Yeah, fan just whirring.
just to head you off, I can't go around and just turn the PS5 off while you're away. Because you can't figure out how to do it from a portal.
QB and Lauren being woken up in the middle of the night because I'm logging on for a session in Japan by just the sound of beep beep.
Accidentally ejecting the disc and
texting, can you pop it back in?
What time is it there? Anyway.
I really miss you. Oh yes.
Yeah, no, it's going great over here. I'm heading out with some mates. I'm not just sitting in my hotel room and
sees a photo of you and Tifa. Well, that's Final Fantasy VII Rebirth demo. The other ones we talked about were Kanito Pet, Silent Hill: The Short Message, and Home Safety Hotline and the Exit 8. Just to recap, because sometimes people forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indicating that I'm done talking.
Yeah, I think I'm done talking.
I
forgot that I played Silent Hill.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I think that's us done for another week. I've just been playing a lot of old stuff. I'm going through all these like old licensed games the like mid-90s. And just having a real, because there's some bangers in there. Capcom, Konami, in their peak, they were making like cool stuff for Disney. Sega made a bunch of like really great Disney licensed games of like Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. And then there is just some doing a lot of going through and getting the games that I saw on the shelf that I really coveted as a little kid and could never get. Like I used to love the cartoon Dexter's Laboratory, and there's a Dexter's Laboratory game that I never had, and so I've downloaded and played that, and it's just the game Elevator Action.
Oh, nice!
Wow,
with just Dexter in it, and it's like, I mean, I like Elevator Action, and I like Dexter.
Yeah,
I'd much rather just a little platformer where you're Dexter running around doing shit.
The amount of truck that those games used to get. I saw a thing that was like an interesting comparison. There were 720 SNES games released, at least in the US or whatever, I suppose. There were 14,000 games put on Steam last year.
Yeah, right.
So just, it makes sense why people look back and go like, remember the fucking Jungle Book game?
Right. Yeah.
You're like, well, you had nothing else.
Everyone knows it. Yeah. It's also funny too, like, just booting up a licensed game of, a property that I loved as a kid or that I still think is cool. And just like, having that like memory of being a kid and even at a young age without really knowing too much about the companies, like at a certain point, seeing Capcom and being like, I'm in safe hands here. Mm. Or seeing like the Infogrames logo come up, that little fucking armadillo.
Yeah.
And being like, uh-oh, dross alert.
Dude, when that fucking Midway iguana crawled onto the screen.
Yeah. Acclaim.
I'm calling up Blockbuster. I'm seeing if I can bring back a rental.
Yeah. I felt like Acclaim was such a mixed bag as well.
Maybe the iguana was Acclaim.
I think you might be right.
I think Midway might have bought Acclaim or the other way around. Oh, boy.
Bullfrog.
Bullfrog were good,
Were good. Apogee.
I loved Apogee.
They were a lot of hits.
Monster Bash, baby.
Yeah.
Tell you who was pretty good that I don't think is around anymore? Kemco.
Never heard of them.
Kemco made a series of games called Crazy Castle, which I think came out on the NES and the Game Boy. And they're really interesting to look up because they're that very like arcadey of the time style of like you're on like a pretty limited area going up and down little platforms and lifts and ladders trying to get keys while there's little enemies scuttling around on different things and you're having to avoid them.
Yep.
But this series of games in the space of like the 5 years or so, they have a different license for every territory that they come out in. So there's like a Roger Rabbit version in Japan. Oh. Then there's a Bugs Bunny version in the West. Huh. Then there's like a Woody Woodpecker version in like you. Like it's just looking through this list of games, and there's like on the little table on Wikipedia, there's like game, you know, year of release, and then like country and what license it was. And that's, it's like just reskinned in it because it's like, oh yeah, cool, we're making a Roger Rabbit game for the NES. And it's like, no, this other company, Rare, are also making a Game Boy game of Roger Rabbit. So you got to put Mickey Mouse on there. Just like it's so awesome because it's like the story just does not relate to this license at all. It's like, Roger's in a portal and he's got to find the thing.
Roger's in fucking the magic castle.
That's like, I don't
Roger's the most egregious one. Like,
I don't know if you've ever heard, but Doki Doki Panic is actually what Super Mario Brothers 2 was called in Japan.
Oh, and then they just similar put Mario licensing in it thing. In the US.
I actually researched this and dug into it. I've got a book coming out about it.
Nice.
Yeah, it's
I'll read it.
Everyone already knows this, the book. And it's all just facts that everyone knows.
Well, that still happens. You know, the Family Guy video game is called Fortnite in Japan. And they just reskinned it and put Peter Griffin in there for the Western audience.
Wow.
But yeah, let's wrap it up there for another installment of Filthy Casuals.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. Filthycasuals.com.au. Get on the Patreon if you enjoy getting the show for free. You can support us on there. Yeah. We really appreciate it.
Why not?
Thank you to everyone who continues to do that. And if you're not on board, get on there. We do a different little show every week for you that you get as a little bonus, a little extra hour of content. We've also got all the YouTube stuff on our website and on our YouTube.
On our internet.
all of the Let's Plays and one-offs and all that sort of different stuff that we do. Thank you for listening. We will see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
if any of the themes or topics discussed in this episode of Filthy Casuals have affected you, then please call me personally and I will help. My phone number is 043.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.